up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Glad you can be with us here on a Wednesday on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, at his Ron with two N's. Divisional matchups coming up this weekend. And I've been saying this early, you know, it's early in the week, and, you know, we start breaking down these games, you really start looking at them, and this is how I usually work this, is that I initially get the matchup and I go, okay, I don't really see much here, or this is what I see here, or this could be really good, or this could be really bad. But as we get moving on to the week and we get into the finer details, all right, this matchup, this defensive back against this receiver, this running back against this defense, et cetera, you realize these games are feel like a little bit more closer than you initially think, right? Like, I'll just give you an example. The Minnesota Vikings against the San Francisco 49ers. Look, the Vikings went on the road and beat the Saints and did so using a solid defensive effort to really put the Saints offense out of their comfort zone. You know, the Saints didn't roll over them. They didn't just explode for all these points. You know, kept this game in check, and then Kirk Cousins delivered when they asked him to deliver. Is it hard for me to see him doing that a second straight week on the road against an even better defense? Yes, it is. But the more you look into the game, the more you look at Dalvin Cook, the more you look at Cousins' confidence, and you look at Zimmer and his game plan, all of a sudden that shrinks a little bit. Now, it doesn't mean the Vikings are going to win, right? And it doesn't mean the Titans are going to win. It doesn't mean Houston's going to win. But as the week progresses, you'll notice that there's just a few things that you can pick apart that maybe at the beginning of the week you go, look, it's a fun story, but it's going to end on Saturday night or Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon or whatever. But as you get closer, you can start seeing the path to victory by some of these underdog teams. The lines for these games are pretty big. All right, a couple are in the nines, right? I think the closest one of the weekend is Seattle and Green Bay. The Packers only a 4-point favorite in that one. Everything else is got a comfortable spread margin on the betting line. Now, I know that the betting line is usually trying to get money on both sides of a bet, but it does give you a little indication as where Vegas sees these games. But again, watch how the week progresses. Look at how Derrick Henry's efficiency against defenses like Baltimore's, or, you know, taking Houston and Deshaun Watson and looking at how they beat Kansas City already in week 6. And you'll see it might be a little closer.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, it's time to take a look at the quarterback matchups coming up this weekend, and the two Saturday games and the two Sunday games in the NFL divisional round. Which weekend, by the way, do you like better? Do you like this weekend better, or do you like the championship weekend, the championship Sunday?
No, I still like
forget the Super Bowl Sunday.
You know what the problem is with championship Sunday? That's only two games.
Yeah, it's only two. It's only
like
one
for the
day.
Entire weekend.
It's only one day.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, and that's where the realization hits, because once that final game closes, which is the AFC Championship's second this year, right?
This weekend? Oh no, yeah, next weekend. Yeah,
the AFC is the closes one. It out. Yep. That's when the realization, the sadness, the depression hits that there's only one game left.
That's it. Super Bowl. 2 weeks. Super Bowl hype. That's all you're getting. So, yeah, this weekend's really fun.
Yeah.
So you got Kirk Cousins going up against Jimmy Garoppolo. That is the first game out of the gate on Saturday. All right. Now, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. God, he's a handsome-looking man. Would you be surprised, though, if he has one of those games where it just doesn't come together? In this
for
one? For Jimmy Garoppolo.
See, I look at this game. This game is a tale of two quarterbacks that have something to prove.
Oh, absolutely. No question. This is where the money is made, right? This is where you earn those big contracts.
Or you justified that big contract.
And the
looking
faith.
Looking at you, Kirk Cousins.
At Kirk Cousins. Or the faith in Jimmy Garoppolo's case,
yeah.
where they had faith that this is the future quarterback.
Will Kirk Cousins get yelled at on the sideline again in this game?
Maybe. Maybe.
And then all of a sudden it turns around and you got, no, you like that magic.
No. God, Kirk Cousins, you know what's funny? After the game, he was interviewed by Chris Myers, and he talked about how, you know, they asked him about the criticism. You know, they said the criticism, and he gave the typical cliched answer where it's about team. I don't really think about those kind of things. Try to push it aside. He spoke about his faith, which was kind of cool and refreshing. But then afterwards, he was screaming, "How do you like that?" or whatever it was. They do care. They do care. I know it's weird, but they do. They are bothered by it. Now, some can push it out, but most of them do. They do care about that, Chris. They don't like it. They don't like it when you say you can't win the big game because you're 0-9 on Monday Night Football or whatever it is, whatever statistic they want to use to justify it. And I think he felt a big relief when he finally won that game. You can't help it. I think it's hard to take that noise and shut it out. You can do your best. You can certainly insulate yourself from it, but it's hard. Now, Garoppolo's had a very good season, but he's still got a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. But it's, you know, naturally he's led the Niners to a number one seed. I'm not going to take anything away from that. But this is the kind of game where the faith that Kyle Shanahan has had in Jimmy Garoppolo has to shine. This is where the bread and butter is made, if you will, or won. So Ryan Tannehill and Lamar Jackson. Okay. Lamar Jackson is going to get his when he's on the field, right? We all think that's going to happen, that he's not going to be shut down. He's not going to be limited. I don't think the Titans defense is capable of stopping him right now. There are other defense that I think could slow him down. I think there are other defense en route to a Super Bowl championship that could be problematic. I'm looking at San Francisco, for example, but I don't see it in Tennessee. I don't see a Titans team that's strong enough up front to contain the running of Lamar Jackson. And I don't see a secondary that's going to narrow the passing lanes. And they've got some good guys in the secondary, but I don't see it being something that Lamar Jackson can't overcome. The question is, what does Ryan Tannehill do in this game? And I'll tell you exactly what he has to do. Hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and make sure he doesn't fumble it. That's it. Throw occasionally, but that's it. I don't think you can be explosive here if you're Tennessee. I think you have to do ball control. I don't see a mano-a-mano matchup offensively between a team that averages 33 points per game. And I know the Titans have improved dramatically in their scoring since Tannehill has come back into the league. I mean, since the 10 games of the regular season, they've averaged over 28 points per game. But you want to match up with Lamar Jackson? Touchdown for touchdown? I would not do that. I would not take that bet.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson needs 170 yards on the ground.
This quarterback matchup isn't even fair. Really,
it isn't,
It's like apples and oranges, or you know, just two extreme opposites. Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he has something to prove too. He's fighting for a contract. He's fighting for a job.
Oh, no doubt.
I think his status with the Titans is probably pretty safe at this point.
I would say so too, and I know there's
but
a lot of positive
NFL,
buzz.
You never know.
But you don't know. That's a great point. You don't know, right? Look, they've caught a wave, right? And a lot of decisions have been made on people's futures based on a wave that have come back to bite them.
Joe Flacco,
right? Joe Flacco, where you catch it, you know, you're like, we're all feeling good right now, so let's all get in a negotiating room and hammer out a contract.
Now the question is if Lamar Jackson enters this game and puts up a big egg. Does that diminish his MVP season? Because obviously, I mean, if he doesn't win MVP, I would be shocked.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the people will vote based on the regular season.
Right.
And they'll say, very disappointed in the postseason, but I won't take away the 36 passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns.
But anyway, do we look back at it and go, he was great during the regular season, terrible in that playoff game?
It depends. I mean, it depends on how terrible.
Does that stain him or tarnish him at all?
If he's absolutely miserable, and it's just one of those games where you're like, somebody stole Lamar Jackson and replaced him with a bad clone, where it's that obvious that there's so much difference between what he did in the regular season or what he did in the postseason. We've seen that happen a couple of times. Then maybe, but I don't know. See, I just think he's going to get whatever he has an opportunity to get, he'll get. It's just how much of those opportunities he'll get. If the Titans can keep the ball on these long, sustained drives where they, you know, eating up clock, eating up yardage, getting points on the end of them, whether they're three or six, then they have a chance at this. They have a chance at this by shortening the game. But if they go out, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, he gets a couple of yards, and they try to throw to A.J. Brown, and then they fail to convert a third down, and they're punting away, and they're doing that often enough, and a couple of three and outs, this game's going to be over quick. The Titans just don't have the defense. I just don't see a defense that can control this. Houston versus Kansas City. This is tricky to me. I'm sorry. I love Deshaun Watson. But if I get a half like I saw against Buffalo in the first, I can't trust it. I loved his second half. I loved it. He stepped up when they needed him to step up. And that iconic play of avoiding the rush and making a completion that goes all the way down into the red zone is going to be part of this playoff season's lore. Right? It's the one shining moment play at the end of it all when we look back on the playoffs. But I don't know if I trust him for 60 minutes. But I trust Patrick Mahomes for 60 minutes.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That's weird. I mean, and I like Deshaun Watson this a lot. One, don't get me wrong.
This one has to make, I think, well, I don't know if I think, I'm hopeful that this is the beginning of a good quarterback rivalry.
I hope so, too. It'll be great. It'll be great. And listen, I don't know how much you take from the Week 6 win. I think you take confidence if you're Houston.
Yeah, but,
you
know that look, you can win there.
The season changes, right? Personnel changes. Things get better. Things get ramped up. Things get brought down. Things mm-hmm. get fixed. So it's not like you can go, well, they won there before. They should win there again. No, Kansas City changed a lot of things. Kansas City improved its run defense. Kansas City tweaked a lot of things offensively as well. And now they're rolling along. And now they've got, you know, like I said, they've won six straight during this run. But I think there is some confidence in Houston that they can go on the road and win there. I don't think they're going to be bothered by the crowd, the noise, any of that other stuff that usually affects teams at Arrowhead Stadium. But I just wonder what Houston team is going to be. That was one of the worst halves of playoff football I've ever seen in my life. And, I mean, they were calling for Bill O'Brien to be fired at halftime. Right? Just fire him now and then put in the interim coach, wrap this thing up and get going and just finish it out. And now I think we've got past that. We did a lot of right things. Our quarterback is playing better. You know, let's move on. Will Fuller, what's his status for this game? Still
up in the air.
Still up in the air. Still questionable.
Yeah, I think he's
an important addition. They've got to have him here.
He is. All he does is he creates that deep threat. He could be a decoy all game long, but you still need him as a deep threat.
Listen, we talked about this before the wild card game. I thought that the Texans could get away with no Will Fuller against the Bills, right? I thought it would be okay. The Bills just don't score a lot of points, and you can find scoring somewhere else. This Kansas City team can score. You've got to find a lot of scoring, and you have to find a lot of options. And Will Fuller is a major option. I think they need him in this game. I really do. I mean, Hopkins is great, but I think Will Fuller is absolutely needed on the other side. So, I'll go with that. Now Seattle Green Bay. Is this the best? This is the best one, right?
Russell Wilson
and Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know if it's the best one. I think it's going to produce the best game, though.
You don't think it's the best quarterback matchup?
I'm really looking forward to Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes.
More of the young angle to it.
I really think that there's something there that we hopefully are witnessing the birth of something.
Yeah, you got a good point. You got a good point. But that might be. That, you got a good point. Those young guys that are emerging in the league sort of changing the way we're looking at things.
Yeah.
You might be right. Not saying Russell Wilson is old or anything, but saying Aaron Rodgers is. He's, you know, he's in his mid-30s now, right?
He's the grandpa of this entire group.
I was gonna say he's 36, right? So,
But Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers, that's tradition, it almost feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
And when these two teams meet, how many times is a game, like, when they've met, ended in controversy somehow?
Yeah. And you're right, with the way the eight quarterbacks are laid out, this is the more veteran matchup, right? Russell Wilson's been around for a while. Aaron Rodgers has been around forever.
Both have a Super Bowl win.
Right, you got young guy, Ryan Tannehill and young guy, and then Kirk Cousins and young guy. How old's Kirk Cousins?
I think he's still
in his 20s.
Yeah, late 20s.
He's 28, 29?
Probably the same age as Jimmy.
I just looked it up, 31. All right, we're not far off.
Kirk Cousins is 31.
31.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't either. But Jimmy's not 30 yet.
But Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this is, you know, the quarterback matchup that you're used to seeing.
Right, exactly.
They're used to seeing like, you know, veteran versus veteran.
Right.
Able to lead their team there. They themselves led their team to this position. And, I mean, it's going to be a great game. And I'm glad it's a Sunday nighter.
I am, too.
Or close to Sunday night.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
5:40 Central start time. What is that?
Nonsense. All right. We're coming up. More thoughts on the divisional games as we continue along. We'll also talk Packers later on this hour and get their feel what's going on in Green Bay. What kind of season has it been with Matt LaFleur at the helm? Remember, it started kind of shaky, but then it ended up with the number two seed in the NFC. That's all coming up on SB Nation AM. Some legends are told, some turn to dust or to gold, but you will remember me for centuries. Just one mistake is all it will take. We'll go down in history. Remember me for centuries.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Keith Jenkins is going to join us in 10 minutes from the Associated Press out in Green Bay to talk about the Packers. I was just going to say Green Bay, but maybe he's based out of Milwaukee. I don't know. But we're going to talk Packers anyway. And then we're going to talk a little Mike McCarthy, too, to see if he thinks Dallas is the right fit for Mike McCarthy. Well, at least, you know, thought process there. Because how many people really know Mike McCarthy? Like, on a daily, day-to-day basis. People in Green Bay do.
Not I.
Not I, said the Duck. You know, maybe he is the right sort of disciplinarian that the teams need. You know, when they say that, it's like, what does that mean?
Does he crack a whip?
Like, does he?
Literal,
does he?
Literal whip?
Does he make like a 35-year-old offensive lineman that's been in the league for 14 years cringe? Or does they go, no, whatever, just runs his mouth, threatens to fine me for showing up late?
To that note, does he have an extreme potty mouth?
Yeah, does he do that? Where he just goes completely berserk over, you know, loses his mind over missed tackles and everything. So, I don't know. But I guess with Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys is you got a guy now that has, you know, at least won games so that you can try to go, okay, here's a collection of talent. We're not rebuilding anything. You're not starting from scratch. You got your quarterback. You got a running back. You got a defense. You got a wide receiver. You got a guys on the offensive line. Do something with this. Make yourself a cake. That's basically it.
And see, and he did it the right way, too.
McCarthy?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we were talking about Judge Judy. I mean, Joe Judge earlier.
Yeah, Joe Judge.
That he kind of skipped a step by going straight from wide receivers coach to coaching an NFL team in the largest market.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? I'm looking at McCarthy's resume here, and, you know, he started off as Pittsburgh's wide receivers coach. I think that's college.
Yep.
And then Kansas City Chiefs offensive quality control coach.
That's kind of a cool title.
And then went to quarterbacks coach, then Green Bay's quarterbacks coach, Saints offensive coordinator, Niners offensive coordinator. See the pattern?
Yeah.
Offensive coordinator.
He became a coordinator.
And then jumped to being the Packers head coach.
Nowadays, when you get your first gig in the NFL, picking up footballs and, you know, organizing notebooks, you are expected to be a head coach in the next 6 to 7 weeks.
I'm surprised
weeks.
The guy who was in charge of all of Tom Brady's footballs, where he was taking a little bit of air out, hasn't gotten a coaching gig yet.
He's not general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars at this point.
He isn't.
Hasn't climbed the ladder of success.
Apparently
so
not.
So quickly. I know.
I mean, that's what it takes now, right?
You know, listen, I love the NFL. I've been loving the NFL since I was a kid. Almost my whole life, when somebody gets hired as a head coach, I've heard of them in some capacity. I may not know about them, but I've heard the name. I've heard somebody talk about that person, coordinator or something like that, right? former coach, college coach, whatever it is. I'm finding more and more, I'm like, I don't know any of these people.
No.
I don't know any of these people at all. At all. I don't know their background. They're 37, 38 years old. I have no idea what they did. Right? I mean, none.
And listen,
Zach Taylor. You know,
here's
Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. He was here in Tennessee, and I didn't know who he was.
Exactly. Here's another thing that, you know, used to happen in our day, Tony. Mike McCarthy was interviewed by Packers general manager Ted Thompson on January 8th, 2006, right?
Right. Wow, happy anniversary to that.
I know. He was offered the head coaching position 3 days later.
Right. Right.
They actually took time and weighed out all the options, went over the pros and cons of everyone they interviewed.
I don't know how many people work in industries where if you're going for a kind of a big job, an important job, managerial, where you're leaving one company, going to another. How many of you ever walked into an interview for a big job, not just like a fill-in, we need a body type of gig, like a really big managerial job,
yep,
where you walked in, interviewed, and they were basically telling you were hired as you were going to your car.
Throwing money at you.
Right? Even when they know you're the guy, they will still tell you, well, you'll hear from us in a week.
Yeah.
And they may close the doors and go, oh my God, we got to land that guy.
You got to put this on the Panthers. You could put it on the Cowboys as well.
Maybe so.
I mean, the Cowboys kept interviewing Jason Garrett for whatever reason. I don't know why they kept interviewing or talking to him or whatever. And they brought in two guys. One happened to have a sleepover and was given the job.
Right. Yeah, right. There's a theory. Really good
at pillow fights.
There's a theory going around now about the Jason Garrett situation, what I'm kind of buying, which is the Cowboys were like, who's available that wants the job? If we don't like anybody, we'll just keep Jason Garrett.
I believe that, too.
I think that's exactly
what
happened.
That makes all the sense in the world.
So we're not going to fire him and cut ties and then have an opening. Because if we cut ties with him, he's done. We're not going to bring him back.
Yeah,
like, we can't go to our fan base and go, we fired a guy and then we didn't like anybody, so we're begging him to take his old job back. So you keep him around and you go, let's interview a bunch of people. Let's test the waters with Marvin Lewis.
Right.
We're not that impressed.
We talked about this last Friday. Like, how awkward must it be that Jason Garrett's sitting there in his office, you know, maybe slowly putting picture frames in a box, like, maybe grabbing that plant. And then all of a sudden he sees Marvin Lewis walk by.
Right, right.
Like, oh.
And they're giving him the tour.
Yes.
They're like, let's just give you a tour around the office. This is Jason's office. And he looks in there and goes, oh, I'm changing the paint color as soon as I get in here. Right.
Yeah, and Jason's sitting there like, ooh, defensive coordinator. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. But that totally makes sense that Dallas would do this. Like, let's, Urban, are you interested? No. All right. Let's see. Who else? Marvin Lewis? Nah. You know, who else? Nah. Who else? Nah. Oh, Jason, you get to keep your job.
Yeah, because let's face it, had they kept Jason Garrett, we would have laughed at the Cowboys. We wouldn't have blamed him.
Right.
We would have sat there and said, makes all the sense in the world that Jason Garrett's the head coach of the Cowboys once again, because that's Jerry Jones' guy.
This guy, Joe Judge, this guy was in school at Mississippi State in 2004. He went to school, he was graduated in 2004, and now he's the head football coach of the Giants. I mean, the Giants. That's amazing. Without going through the normal progression that you expect somebody to go through. Maybe it's a different age. I don't know. Maybe it's a different age. Who knows? But
it just seemed like all these teams were so nervous about losing out.
Maybe so, yeah.
That they were so quick to hire. I mean, I don't... The Redskins make all the sense in the world how quickly they offered Ron Rivera a job, because we all know Ron Rivera is not a bad coach. He's actually a really good coach, just wasn't in the Panthers' game plan.
Right. And those two teams had openings that were open during the season, right? Bill Callahan was an interim head coach. I forget who the guy was at Carolina, but he was under interim head coach.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey was calling him and Greg Olsen were calling plays.
They were calling plays.
So you got a situation where the Redskins knew they were in the market to hire a guy without having to dismiss anybody, because everybody was on the same page. And the Panthers knew, all right, we're going to be, you know, hiring a guy, because we let Ron Rivera have conversations with teams because he's not bound by any contractual obligation not to, because we released him of that. So the two sides helped each other.
Ron Rivera was free to talk, and the Redskins were willing to listen without any sort of, you know, didn't have to hide in some hotel somewhere and make a deal and behind the back door.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we spend the week continuing to preview these divisional matchups. The Green Bay Packers will be hosting the Seattle Seahawks at Lambeau Field coming up this weekend in the NFC divisional round. Keith Jenkins joins us from the Associated Press to talk Packers football. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Happy New Year.
Good. Keith, I'm going to ask you to play a little, play doctor a little bit. How's the team feeling? I hear there is a bug, a little cold, a little flu or something. I don't know. What's going on? Is there a sickness going around with the team?
Yeah, there's a little illness buzzing around the locker room. LaFleur talked about it the other day. He's, you know, urging the guys to practice good hygiene, keep it nice and clean and healthy in the locker room. But it doesn't seem to be a huge deal. You know, outside of that, guys are feeling well and getting healthy physically. Aaron talked last week that this is the best he's felt in years. And I think that's a credit to Matt LaFleur and him taking a lot of mental days this year, giving the guys, a physical day to rest. He's done a lot of that this season. And, they're really healthy, especially when you look at the rest of the league and the injuries that those guys are facing. So, I think they'll be ready to go on Sunday.
We'll get into the matchups in a little bit of what the Seahawks challenges will be for the Packers and whatnot, but let's go to the season. Here comes Matt LaFleur. Here comes a new voice for the Packers. And here's Aaron Rodgers, who's a veteran in this league and now is getting a new voice as head coach. What was the relationship like in the beginning? How has it progressed? Is it the same? Has it grown and developed over the 17 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think what's the best part about their relationship is all the noise that happened around it. And I think that brought those two closer together. They pretty much got off to a great start pretty early. I think the fact that they're younger in age, similar in age, they both have similar outlooks on the offense and what they want it to look like. They seem to have pretty good communication early on. Sure, they had their bumps and their bruises like any, you know, coach and player relationship. But they started off really well. And I think us asking them questions about, hey, how are you guys getting along? Do you guys hang out? Are you guys communicating well? Is things going on? You know, that brought those guys closer together. And then they have to communicate on, are they telling us the right thing? You know, but no, they've done a really good job. And they've talked about, you know, how their relationship has grown, how close they are on and off the field. Aaron trusts Matt, and Matt trusts Aaron and gives him, they both give each other enough, you know, ground to make mistakes and to learn and grow with each other. But it doesn't even matter because they need Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is the key to the game. And if he's on, they're on. So
in terms of Matt LaFleur's growth, I mean, look, that's a daunting task. I mean, he was not taking over a team that was rebuilding from scratch and had a little bit of room to grow. He was taking a car that was ready to be driven to the finish line. I'm assuming early on there was maybe the pressure of that, but how have you seen him grow as a head coach?
He's done a good job, and he's told us a lot of just, it's only just the next game. He's not focused on week 12, week 14. He's focused on the next opponent, and I think that's helped him kind of compartmentalize the season and just look at it as just a one-week thing as opposed to a big 16-week daunting task. Once he won the division, everybody's goal has been win the division, get to Miami. Win the division, get to Miami. So he's done a really good job of keeping the guys focused on the tasks at hand, and he's been really focused on that. He's never really been seen – nothing's been seen too big for him. This is his first go around as a head coach, but nothing, every turn has seemed very manageable for him. And I think that's a credit to, you know, him and his staff. He's got a lot of good assistant coaches, Mike Pettine, who's built a really solid defense and, has been one of the driving forces to their success this season. So Matt LaFleur has done a really good job of just learning and growing as he goes, relying on Aaron Rodgers and the other leaders in the locker room, Mercedes Lewis, to be the leaders and the elder statesmen that they are. And he's done a good job of mixing the old and the new and bringing a new perspective into this Green Bay locker room.
Keith Jenkins joins us, Associated Press, talking Green Bay Packers as they get ready to host Seattle. So it's easy for the average fan to look at this game and go, yeah, it's Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, but you touched on Aaron Jones and the importance of what he can bring to the offense for the Packers. Elaborate on what that will mean on Sunday when they face that Seattle defense.
Yeah, Aaron Jones has been the Packers' MVP this season. It hasn't been Aaron Rodgers that we've come to expect. Usually, you know, the Green Bay Packers will go as far as Aaron Rodgers can take them, but that hasn't been the case this season. When Aaron Jones is a big part of the game plan, both in the pass game and in the run game, they win in the period. I mean, he has to be a big part of what they do on Sunday. And he sets up so much more for them. If he's going, Devontae Adams has a little bit more space. And they haven't had a lot outside of Devontae in the past game. So they need Aaron Jones to be a big part of it. They figured Geronimo Allison would be a big part of the offense. He hasn't. They figured Marquez Valdes-Scantling would be a big deep threat for them this season. He hasn't. So it's really just been Devontae and Aaron Jones. But when Aaron Jones is going, when he's got a good rhythm going, it opens it up things for Aaron, allows him to do a little bit more, allows Devontae to get a little bit more space. So he's huge for that offense. When he doesn't get the ball, they don't win. So he has to make sure, LaFleur has to make sure that he gets Aaron Jones the ball early and often. And if he does that, they'll win because they have all season.
Defensively, this is right out of the gate, this defense was showing up and playing well for the Packers. And the idea of what Seattle brings offensively is so much around Russell Wilson and his ingenuity. But DK Metcalf is a big receiver. Do they have somebody that can counter that defending him?
Yeah, they got Kevin King, who's a really big corner. He's been healthy of late. He's had some health issues in his career. But I think he'll be a big part of the game plan on Sunday is giving DK Metcalf a big body to deal with. He's a load, and I think he's a lot better than what any of us anticipated at this point in his career, his young career. I think he's probably even better than what Seattle projected. He's a force. He can get, you know, down the field in a hurry because he can bully his way on the line of scrimmage, and he's also really, really fast getting down the field.
Right.
But Kevin King is a big body. And Jair Alexander is a guy who's he's not short of confidence. He's another corner on Green Bay, and he'll tell you how good he is. But I think that confidence bodes well in a matchup like that. And then you got a guy like Tremont Williams who has a ring. He was on that last Packers championship team, and he'll be another guy who they'll throw at him. And I think his benefit there, his advantage, is his brain. He's extremely smart, savvy, an older guy. Who knows when and where to get in the way of DK and what he can do to kind of slip him up a little bit.
The Seattle offensive line, they give up a lot of sacks. Wilson went down 48 times this season. That's a lot. How is the pass rush for the Packers? Have they been able to get to the quarterback consistently this season?
That's probably been one of their biggest strong suits this year is their pass rush. They picked up Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith in free agency, and those guys have been an absolute tear in the pass rush this season. Za'Darius, I think it's 16 and a half sacks, I believe it was. Preston Smith had a career high in sacks. Those two have built a pretty cool bond. To see those guys come in this offseason and instantly get together and gel and really be the driving forces of that defense has been a special thing to watch. They brought other guys along with them, Rashawn Gary, rookie, who is situated in the locker room between those two guys. So he's really learned a lot from Preston and Za'Darius. But Za'Darius has been amazing this year. LaFleur, Patton, they challenged him to be one of the leaders, to be one of the vocal leaders in the locker room. And he's done that. And that leadership has translated on the field with a lot of sacks, a lot of penetration. And week in, week out, those guys have been a terror. And it's also opened up some space for Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark is having a career year as far as sacks, defensive tackle, and that's been a direct derivative of Za'Darius' production. So, yeah, getting to the quarterback is going to be something that Green Bay is going to have to do on Sunday and keeping Russell Wilson off balance. And they've been able to do that this season, so we'll see how it goes.
Keith, I want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers a bit because we touched on it a little bit with the new voice of Matt LaFleur coming in. Has Aaron played different, whether it's his composure, whether it's just the way he does things that doesn't have to do anymore or has to do more of? Is there a different feel to this season with the new head coach, or has he been the same old Aaron Rodgers with just some different numbers?
I think there is a different feel. I think the biggest thing is he hasn't had a player like Aaron Jones before.
Right.
And I think that's been the biggest benefit for Aaron Rodgers this year. He's also talked a lot about how the timing has been off this season. And I just think that that's just a derivative and a product of a new offense. You got a lot of new faces, a lot of young guys on this team who are trying to figure things out. Jake Kumerow, Alan Lazard, guys that Green Bay were going to depend on, like Geronimo Allison, like Valdez Scantling. Those guys haven't been quite as dependable as they had thought. So a lot of guys are having to step up into another and new positions. And I think it's kind of created a lack of timing that Aaron has referenced. But better yet than never now to get that timing together in the postseason. But when it's on, it's special. And we've seen flashes of how great this offense can be. They've had trouble of sustaining it. But I think, you know, given the pressure and what's at stake, Devontae talked a couple weeks ago about how much faith he has in Aaron that he'll show up. You know, if the offense isn't going, we're used to seeing Aaron just take over games, right? He'll just make these phenomenal throws, these phenomenal plays that keep the chain going. And I think that's something that you'll see on Sunday. It's just him knowing the stakes are high, knowing that they got a home playoff game and what they're trying to get to. We'll probably see the classic throwback Aaron Rodgers that we're used to seeing. So it should be fun.
I did want to ask you about Mike McCarthy, and I wanted your feelings at knowing him and watching him and kind of knowing how he operates. Good fit for the Cowboys? How did you see that when it was announced?
My first reaction is what I thought Dallas needed was a defensive mind, right? Like I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys and what their issue was last season, it wasn't their offense. Their offense was one of the tops in the league. They needed a guy in there who could come in and straighten out the defense because the defense had struggled mightily this season. But I think it's a good fit in that, what does Jerry Jones need? Because that's what it's all about. Jerry Jones needs a guy that's not, you know, a loudmouth, a wannabe-seen kind of guy, and that's not who Mike McCarthy is. But their relationship is key on how this thing turns out. You know, it's going to be tough as a head coach who has an owner who likes to do a press conference every Sunday.
That's
weird. So is that something that Mike McCarthy is going to be able to deal with? It seems that those guys have gotten off to a good relationship. Mike McCarthy stayed at Jerry Jones's house, had a sleepover, and it seems like that they're off to a good start. But if they can get off to a good tug and pull and a good relationship where there's some give and take there, I think they'll be good. When you look at what he's had with Bill Parcells, maybe the best coach he's had in the last 20 years, outside of, you know, Jimmy Johnson and that Super Bowl run and Barry Switzer. When he had Bill Parcells, that was a great, phenomenal coach, but Jerry would give him the leeway and the space to do his thing, and that's what Bill needed. I think Mike McCarthy's a guy who doesn't need quite as much space to be successful, and he's a good offensive mind. You want a good offensive mind to pair with Dak Prescott to make sure that he's developing and continue his growth as a passer. So I think it's a good fit. I mean, you know, we'll see how it goes. But he needed a splashy guy, a guy with championship experience, and he got it with Mike. So we'll see.
Keith, great stuff. Really hope to catch up with you again soon. Thank you so much and enjoy the game this weekend.
You got it. Thanks.
Yeah, all right. That's Keith Schenken, AP on the Green Bay Packers. Coming up, another anniversary in NFL history, and this might have a more of a positive spin. Next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, last hour I said there was an anniversary in the NFL. It was the Tebow throw to Demaryius Thomas in the playoffs, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't like that one. But here's one that's a lot more fun.
Do the Titans have a miracle left in them in what has been a magical season to this point? If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25. Yeah, pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something. 30, he's 40, got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got
40,
it.
20, 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
The Music City Miracle when they beat the Buffalo Bills.
Again, NFL, if you're having trouble putting fans in the stands, you just put them in the crowd noise.
That is the great Mike Keith on the call. And almost his color commentator almost buried him on the track.
Seriously.
So he's like, he's got something. I know.
I'm trying to explain it.
Trying to scribe what's happening here.
He could go all the way.
You just yelling at various points of me trying to call the play is distracting the listeners.
Still got the ball, Mike.
Still trying to do something here. I like how he prefaced it, though. A lot of play-by-play announcers don't do this, where he prefaced the possibility of a miracle before the play. He just didn't go, well, the Titans need to do something with this. This one's in the books. He's like, they need a miracle. And they need a miracle right now. And then it came to fruition.
Let's just be real. Is he a time traveler?
He might be.
Maybe he knew it was going to happen. Maybe he had Gray Sports Almanac.
Right, Gray Sports Almanac. And also, too, no flags on the field. Because when you hear a play like that, your first thought is somebody screwed up. Somebody did something wrong. Somebody blocked somebody in the wrong way. Or something happened to make this one. They're going to send this bad boy back. But that ended the Bills' season.